This is Trumpet Radio Live.
Thanks for joining us here on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm. This is Trumpet Radio Live for Wednesday. Myself, I'm Dwight Falk. Hello, greetings, salutations. Grant Turgeon is here as well. And nice day on the way today here in the Oklahoma City area. We were chilly yesterday, but today, a 25 degree jump in temperature. So we're going to be mid 70s. So the good times are happening here again in Edmond, central Oklahoma.
Even this morning, I went outside for a little bit, and I thought it was going to be a lot colder than it was. The wind was still pretty biting, but I was expecting worse, so I was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, we've had kind of an up-and-down weather, but it's nice today, so we're happy about that. A lot to talk about on today's program, including previewing the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. Really a good one today, as they always are. Also seeing what's on thetrumpet.com. A couple of news items, and then finishing up talking about Character in Crisis, a really great free booklet at thetrumpet.com. So plenty to look at today. Of course, the big story yesterday was the terror attack that happened. I guess it was around 5 o'clock in New York City. This is the first terror attack in New York City since 9/11. So it's been, about 16 years?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. New York City terror attack. This is from CBS. What we know about the victims. Of course, this terrorist, Islamic guy, he rented a truck and plowed over. He drove on the bike path, bike path for about a mile almost. And killed 8 people and I guess about 11 injured, including people from different countries. I mean, New York, you know, there's going to be a lot of people there from different areas. 5 Argentine nationals and a Belgian were among those killed when a man plowed into pedestrians and cyclists on a bike path in New York City, authorities said Tuesday. CBS News identified the suspect, who has a very long and difficult name to pronounce, who once worked as an Uber driver. Police shot the suspect after he exited the vehicle and shouted Allah Akbar in Arabic, of course. He is currently in police custody, and officials said they are investigating the incident as an act of terror. I would hope so. So they did officially brand this as a terror attack yesterday.
That's actually a lot sooner than it usually happens. People, it seems like our police departments have been pretty slow to name a motive or to expose the true ideology behind those types of attacks. It's nice to at least see them admitting it right away this time.
Yeah, well, but they kind of threw in their caveats, if you will.
Oh, no.
This is CNN, their report. They're talking about what the mayor there, Governor Cuomo, said Wednesday morning. He said that the terrorist was radicalized domestically in the U.S. He said the evidence shows, and again, it's only several hours, so the statement should stop there, but he said the investigation is ongoing, but that after he came to the United States is when he started to become informed about ISIS and radical Islamic tactics. He said, we have no evidence yet of associations or a continuing plot or associated plots, and our only evidence to date is that this was an isolated incident that he himself performed. Therefore, they're trying to tell you that it has nothing to do with the religious ideology, and he didn't get radicalized till he moved to the U.S. several years ago. So nothing to see here, folks.
And the police don't like him either, so he probably contradicted a lot of what the police already believed. And it does seem like that is also a Democratic ploy to continue to allow refugees to come into our country, say that it has nothing to do with the violent regions they're coming from and the ideologies that are prevalent in those areas. It actually only happens after they get here. It has nothing to do with where they came from.
That's, I think, what they're hitting on or trying to hit on. And, you know, it really is just astounding that it's pointed out on the Trumpet Daily Radio Show, and I noticed it yesterday myself. You know, there's a terror attack. Now, it used to be, particularly if you had a terror attack in the United States, that everything kind of stopped. Mm-hmm. And it was a big, big deal. And nothing really stopped. I mean, it even watching the national news last night, which went to air maybe an hour after this occurred, yeah, it was the feature story, and they talked about it a little bit, but they kind of have nothing to say about it. We've said it all before. It's been said before. The thought that they're trying to put out there that it's a lone wolf, we don't know, got radicalized here in the U.S. Anyway, and then we'll be back with more, you know, President Trump Russia stories. You know what I mean? Like, this is a major, major deal. And they kept, even in New York City, they said last night, they said, well, don't stay home from the Halloween parade. Make sure you still go out and do that. Right after a terror attack where a guy in a truck plowed everybody over and you want to just haul your kids out there to some sort of, I mean, is anybody just going to stop for 5 seconds and say, hey, maybe we should reevaluate something? They don't even take a break. It's like, and even today you look at the headlines, it's still the top story, but just sort of. And it's not even really the top story in a lot of sites. A lot of sites are now focusing on President Trump's tweets about travel ban.
Mm.
You know, that's the story. Well, it's just really bizarre how we've become so hardened to this. The fearful thing is, what's it going to take for people to stop and maybe reevaluate what's going on in America?
How many people did his tweets kill? I mean, that's clearly the priority should lie with the actual event and not focusing on how certain people respond to the event. The fact that people died, it should warrant a lot of coverage. And I guess maybe the public has tired of hearing about it, or the media has some things to cover up, so they don't want to report on it the way they should. But it does seem like the coverage is lacking. I mean, I heard like a glint of it last night, barely, and then one of the little kids in my class this morning was the one who told me the most about it. So I guess I hadn't seen much of the news last evening, but you'd think that it would be easier to hear about big things like that.
You know, if you didn't stop and check out a couple of news sites or something, and you just, say, turned on normal programming, you'd have no idea.
Yeah.
I turned on the World Series a little bit, you know, and it just kind of struck me that, well, here they're playing this game. And the fans are all there, and it, you know, people maybe know what happened, I guess, but nobody's afraid. Nobody's worried. Right. They're just going to keep on playing their games. And so it doesn't, you know, you just stop and think, well, how hardened have we become to where 8 people got killed yesterday? Mm-hmm. In this terrible thing that could happen anywhere. And people are just kind of like, well, whatever. And just, you know, don't let the terrorists win. Just keep on living your life. What, you know, is this the new normal? That's the question, where we just expect this to happen. And, oh, well, you know, wasn't me.
Right.
It's not a good situation.
Yeah, the attitude's almost like, God forbid anything prevent us from partying. You know, that's we do our partying and our entertainment and our leisure time to such an extreme that nothing could ever get in the way of that. That's more important than our jobs, our families, and we can't stop, you know, being entertained and stimulated just because there was a terrorist attack. That's almost what the mindset is now.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I mean, even you think about that Las Vegas shooting, that wasn't even a month ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't hear, or maybe it was a month, I don't know. You don't hear much about that anymore or anything else. But the point is brought out on the Trump Daily Radio Show, too, that there's a pretty good write-up that Stephen Fleury was quoting, but where they were comparing the way the media responds if they think it has something to do with, say, some sort of a white nationalist versus radical Islam.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on one hand, if it's Islamic, they say, lone wolf, we don't know, don't judge the religion. If it's a white extremist, as they call it, they condemn the whole white population, just
right.
Different ways of handling it.
Yeah, that's a really good point to bring out, because that seems to happen all the time. I mean, there are certain groups that no matter what they do, the media will try to cover it up. And yet there's clearly a white group specifically that is constantly attacked, or especially if you're a white male. I mean, there are no holds anymore, that you can just completely go all out in criticizing those groups. And like you mentioned with Charlottesville, there was a man who ran someone over with a truck, and that was a despicable act. But to then turn around and act like every single person who doesn't want a Confederate statue taken down has the exact same motivation and mentality as that guy, that's just not accurate. On the other hand, there is a religious book that does inspire people to commit acts like that, and there are billions of people on the earth who adhere to that book. So that is something worth being concerned about.
Yeah, it's a really bizarre thing. Stephen Fleury talks about a political ad that's out there. I saw a little headline it the other day. You know, where this white guy is trying to run over these minority children. And I haven't seen the ad. It's just, but he describes it on the show. You'll have to listen to the description. But it just that type of division, running an ad like that, you know, they're just really stirring the pot. And really, they're accusing somebody that has a different political stance on some level. Anyway, they're basically accusing them of wanting to kill minorities. That's mm-hmm. what they're saying in that right. ad. I can't believe that's even allowed to go to air. Yeah. But you know, it's kind of funny. It usually always goes this way. The comedy shows start first, where they really start saying some pretty inflammatory things. Because, we're just kidding around. You know, we're just making a parody. And then it goes from that to being very serious. We've seen that with all sorts of social change in this country. Or even, you know, something that, like, say, attacking another political group now. To where if you just came out and did it out of the blue, I think people would be really up in arms about it, as they say. But if you do it in a way where, it's a joke at first, and then it's serious, it seems like that's the way to get it into the mainstream thinking. I can't believe they're allowed to run an ad like that.
Well, how many jokes have we heard about those old racist, white, conservative Confederates, basically? That's how they describe them, and now we literally have an ad where there's a Confederate flag on the back of the truck, along with the bumper sticker supporting the Republican candidate for governor in Virginia. And sure enough, he's trying to run down minority children in his truck. I mean, I saw one of the women behind that ad being interviewed about it, and she didn't see any problem with it because she said, well, you know, these are the types of fears that the minorities have. And the interviewer kept saying, well, why not be ethical and run an ad saying that those fears are misguided and that your political opponent isn't trying to kill minorities? Why couldn't you be honest instead of playing on their false fears even more so and lying to them and trying to, I mean, basically say half the country doesn't want you to exist? I mean, what a dishonest way of trying to win a political campaign.
Yeah, and I would have a real question about, is that really the fear that's out there? If it is, it's because the media put it in people's heads with ads like that. I don't know of anybody that's afraid of, you know. The funny thing is they try to depict, I guess, the Republicans in this case as being those types of people where you can't really find any instances of those things happening, ever. Now, they might point at the Charlottesville thing, but that guy, that's a whole other situation there. But on the other hand, you can just read the list of how many Islamic terror attacks there have been where they've gotten into cars and run people over. It's a long list, but yet, it's different. See, I hope people are aware of how they're being played by the media, and it's a terrible, terrible thing because it's just causing division.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you mentioned the terrorist attacks. You mentioned, I guess, immigration has a big deal to play on the minds of minorities, and all Republicans do, it seems like, is criticize gang members like MS-13, these illegal immigrant gangs, and they say, look, there are some dangers in just simply having an open border and letting any type of unknown criminal come in. The media then takes that and equates it with racism, even though, if you think about that logically, those gangs are going to be victimizing the legal immigrant communities the most. They're going to go into some of the maybe the more blue collar areas, and they're going to attack there the most. They're not going to be able to get away with their violence in some of these gated, highly secured, rich communities, right? So, the Republican way of thinking of that is that they're trying to protect people from savage criminals, and yet that's equated with racism somehow. The same thing with if you just acknowledge the reality of radical Islamic terrorism, you're somehow a racist. It's not that every single person is going to commit those acts, but a large percentage of them are complicit in it, or they are okay with it. Sometimes you just have to acknowledge reality, and just for acknowledging reality, people shouldn't be smeared for that.
And other nations, European nations, obviously are dealing with the same problem, but the difference is we know, if you look to Bible prophecy, that they're going to deal with it strongly, whereas we are not. We're just going to sit here. I mean, there's no talk of any type of action, what is the U.S. going to do? Nothing. Just go to the Halloween parade and just keep playing your sports, and we're not going to do anything about it. So it's a what kind of a message does that send to terror groups? Yeah. Open season, do what you want, doesn't make any difference. I mean, this guy's still alive that did this. They're going to, you know, try to get info out of him. What are they going to do? You know, is he going to have a trial? Is he going to go to jail? I mean, what are you going to do with a guy like that? It's just a very bizarre thing. And then even there, I'm sure this hasn't happened, and I hope it doesn't, but I would not be surprised to see some human rights group sweep in and say they were mean to the guy or something.
Yeah.
Like their interrogation methods were mean.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it hasn't happened yet, but we've seen things like that happen before. So down is up, up is down. I mean, whatever you think would never happen, that's probably what you could expect to see.
Yeah, we have really just descended into complete insanity. Just you mentioned human rights groups complaining about how prisoners are treated. We saw some of that with Guantanamo Bay and the waterboarding practice, which does not threaten a life. It just causes panic in the mind of the terrorists and then makes them admit what they're a part of and what other plans could be underway to try to kill more people. So you're trying to save lives by using these common sense techniques, and yet there are people out there who think more highly of the terrorists than they do of their future victims. I mean, just it's such a warped way of thinking. Even going back to that political ad, apparently he's a Republican, this Republican candidate, but still he's pretty light on immigration. I mean, it's almost like near amnesty in his agenda, and yet they're still running an ad like he's trying to kill minorities. I mean, the truth is just nowhere to be found, and there's no sort of logical way of looking at things in the radical left anymore.
It's getting very frustrating, angering in a lot of ways. It's sad. We're going to talk about this, the lack of adherence to law, coming up later. That's in the Character in Crisis, that booklet we're talking about somewhat this week. Here's another story that was sent in from a listener. We appreciate that. You can send those story ideas, if you have them, to comments at kpcg.fm. And we appreciate getting those, whether it's a story idea or a comment or whatever. This is from Bloomberg, and it came out today, and it's touched on briefly on the Trump Daily as well. Americans are officially freaking out. That's the title. Journalism has really gone an interesting direction in this country, where you can say freaking out as like a part of a title.
Yeah, it's like they're trying to be hip and up with the latest lingo. I mean, I don't think anyone thinks that's cool of them to do. I mean, they're just trying to, I guess, fit in with the crowd.
I would have gotten, even in high school, I think I would have gotten probably some points taken off of a writing assignment if I had used freaking out as an actual.
It's just an incredibly low standard.
Yeah. Anyway, it says, for those lying awake at night, worried about healthcare, the economy, and an overall feeling of divide between you and your neighbors, there's at least one source of comfort. Your neighbors might very well be lying awake, too.
Oh, yeah, that should make us all feel better.
Yeah.
That other people are also suffering.
We're all in this together. Almost two-thirds of Americans, 63%, report being stressed about the future of the nation, according to the American Psychological Association's 11th Stress in America survey, conducted in August and released on Wednesday. This worry about the fate of the union tops longstanding stressors such as money, work, and cuts across political proclivities. However, a significantly larger proportion of Democrats reported feeling stressed than independents and Republicans. They're stressed out more than others. I wonder why that is.
Yeah, their candidate didn't win, and they probably haven't slept ever since. So they've gone into complete meltdown mode, and Mr. Trump has sort of helped with that. He has a way of outing people for being radical leftists. Like, people have just been voluntarily exposing themselves for their crazy beliefs just because they hate him so much and they just can't keep their mouth shut.
Well, there is that new hip expression that somebody's woke and they're angry or whatever. Well, here they're literally woke because they're not asleep.
Oh, it's just that has to be the dumbest thing I've ever heard, that word. Like, you woke up, but if you are currently awake, you're awake.
Right.
You're not woke.
Yeah.
I just can't understand how these words gain popularity.
No, it's amazing. The article says the current social divisiveness in America was reported by 59% of those surveyed as a cause of their own malaise. When the APA surveyed Americans a year ago, 52% said they were stressed by the presidential campaign. And since then, anxieties have only grown. Yeah, that's right, because really the campaign never stopped. It just kept going, except, you know, somebody's in office now, but the same divisiveness, the same attacks, it just keep going and going. It says a majority of more than 3,400 Americans polled, 59%, said they consider this to be the lowest point in our nation's history that they can remember. That sentiment spanned generations, including those that lived through World War II, Vietnam War, and the terrorist attacks of September 11th. And so they feel like the nation's in a worse place today, and I would agree with them. I think that it is. And I also, just thinking about the terror attack, I forgot to mention that, you know, like the media's moved on from this already, almost, the one from yesterday. But you think about this, 8 people that were killed with families.
Mm-hmm.
That could have been any of us. You know, they're never going to move on from it because they lost somebody. And yet everybody just moves on. So anyway, I forgot to bring that point up. But it is a low point in this country, and I think that's right.
Yeah, and especially when the media has been nonstop criticizing President Trump for not having any empathy, and they move on almost robotically past the story. It's pretty hypocritical, you would think. I mean, to just gloss over the fact that people died, and those people who are related to them will probably have many nightmares and be worried about similar things happening to their other relatives or to their friends or to themselves. You never, like you said, you never get over that. The media should be covering it a lot more carefully.
You know, what about, speaking of that political ad earlier, what about an ad showing what actually happened?
Yeah.
And then, you know, saying, well, look, this is Islamic terrorism.
Yeah.
Would that be okay? They would be outraged by it. But this one, that wouldn't be a fantasy. That would just be news footage. But you could interview the people and what their life is like after their husband or wife or child was murdered and run over by a vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe see what they think.
Yeah, I mean, because there was that one instance of a white supremacist running someone over in a truck, and yet we've seen that repeatedly from radical Islamic terrorists. They would, I mean, like you said, imagine the outrage. If you targeted one of these protected groups of people, you would be instantly derided as a bigot and probably ostracized from the public. I mean, it just goes to show you, these people on the left, they don't see everyone as human beings. They see them as political pieces. And to them, not all human beings are equal. Maybe that's why they hate the Constitution as much as they do, because they don't think that every human was created by God with all these unalienable rights that the Constitution brings out. They just see black people as higher than white people. They see women as higher than men. I mean, you could go on and on about that. It's just so extreme, and it's so hateful that you literally only care if it's your protected class is being attacked, and not if it's a white male, for example.
It's crazy times. People are upset about it, and they're freaking out, as Bloomberg says. What issues are causing American stress? Number one is healthcare. Number two, economy. Number three is trust in government, followed by hate crimes, and then crime. It's a tie between hate crimes and crime. I'm glad it's a tie, because they're the same thing. Could you stop with the love crimes? It just
crime of passion.
Crimes of passion, that's right. Wars and conflicts, terrorist attacks, high taxes, social security, government scandals, unemployment and low wages, climate change and environment. Okay, way at the bottom there. Not too many people are staying awake because of climate change.
Well, it's interesting, because you would have thought, based on the media coverage of that everyone was panicking about it.
Yeah, you would think so. But it's only 21%. And that I'm sure is because a lot of people are just sort of buying into the narrative that's being presented about that. But that's the bottom of the barrel there. So that's what people are concerned about, and it's causing Americans to freak out. But I do think that it is a right sentiment, where they think that it is the lowest point in American history to this point. And that's probably right. Obviously, the Civil War would be in there, but nobody can remember that because no one was alive.
Right.
And there's now everyone's arguing about the Civil War and what caused it.
Yeah.
So that's a whole new stressor. We're divided over what caused the Civil War. So we have more division even on some historical note. but in any event, lots of things that are dividing Americans, and all indications are, just by looking around, but also by Bible prophecy, that it's going to get a lot worse before it gets better.
Yeah, and it does seem like even just in the last year, it has gotten far worse because I haven't been alive a really long time, but I always used to remember that if you were on the right or more conservative, you might smile and shake your head at those misguided people who disagree with you on the left, and vice versa. You obviously either side would think that the other side was misguided, but you could still coexist. You could still be friends. You could still live your lives alongside each other. Now it's the battle lines are drawn. You can't go to Thanksgiving with these people who are so bigoted and hateful because they simply don't agree with you on a policy. I mean, the way that we think of people who disagree with us now is so much more extreme, and it does seem like the one way to resolve that is through physical conflict, because they think of the opposite group as someone trying to destroy the country. And if you have that mentality, I think it's accurate if you're talking about the radical left. They are trying to destroy the country, but when you have these two enemy camps and they hate each other as much as they do, it's easy to see how a civil war could erupt once again.
Sure. The narrative's getting pretty bad, and particularly, you know, coming from the left, but where they're painting the group that they're against as people that are out to enslave them or kill them. Now, that's dangerous, and you would think there'd be enough adults in the room, as they say, to stand up and say that's enough. Mm-hmm. Like, you can have a disagreement maybe, but this is too far, because the hatefulness is just, it keeps getting elevated, and it seems like, I don't know, you know, every few weeks or whatever, something else happens that ratchets it up, even if it's just rhetoric, where it's more extreme. I mean, you remember, it wasn't too long ago, right, where the congressman was shot at that baseball game.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and if, you know, for maybe a day, half a day, people were like, well, now let's settle down here. Has it settled down? Yeah, well, it's worse than it's ever been, and people have forgotten about that. And so it seems like if there is a tragedy, or I don't know if tragedy is the right word, a hateful act, a crime, because of what is being said in the media, then they say, well, we got to be careful now. But then, you know, let a day go by, and they're even going further with it. So that seems to sort of be the pattern, to where we are like that frog in the water here in this country, whether it be terror attacks or whether it be hateful rhetoric, where the water's just getting turned up, the temperature's getting turned up, and we don't realize we're boiling ourselves alive in this.
Yeah, and the media, it's pretty clear that they are at least trying to stir up some sort of division, because obviously it gives them more to cover. They make more money if more people are tuning into their shows to see their reactions and their outrageous statements about current events. But they... like you said, they don't quite understand how bad it's going to get in most cases. They probably don't understand that it is leading to civil war. Maybe they don't care too much about a riot taking place in a city because they lie about the cause of a police shooting. Maybe they don't worry too much about a smaller scuffle like that. But what if the whole country collapses because of the way that they are reporting on things? They don't understand that that's where it's leading to. They don't, a lot of them, I think some of them do, but a lot of them don't quite know that it's going to get that bad. And they're probably going to regret it for a long time once they see how this all plays out.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, if you're starting a little fire and you throw gas on it, when the thing blows up, you can't retract the gas.
Yeah.
Sorry, whoops, let's tamper, let's slow that fire down a little bit. You can't really do it at that point. A lot of that's talked about and more on the Trumpet Daily Radio Show today. The terror attack, of course, the division in the U.S., the 10th Commandment also, and a little bit about those JFK files that were released. Indication is, of course, that they know more than they're telling us. also, thetrumpet.com. Make sure you stop and check that out today. Top story is Russia's War on America by Andrew Miller. By doing, quote, opposition research for both major U.S. political parties, Russia is not trying to help either. And that's a really good point. It's the whole Russia thing's being sort of presented like it's a Republican conspiracy or something. Russia's playing both sides. Yeah, they don't care. They hate the U.S. I don't know. It's so strange to me. I know it's being used as a political, you know, weapon to try to take down the other side. But would say the people on the left, do they think that like Russia has their best interests at heart? Like, they just don't like those conservatives? I mean, what? They're communists. They hate the U.S. They hate the West. Liberal, conservative, I don't care. I don't care what you are, what your race is. Mm-hmm. They want to rule the world and knock the U.S. out of the way. And so they're just happy to sit there and infiltrate both sides and then watch us fight about it.
In a sad way, the coverage of the Russian news has been hilarious because, like you say, it is just comical to think that, oh, the Russians are—they're loyal Republicans. They,
right.
they're flying the party flag. They are proud to support the Republican Party in the United States of America. It's just—it's outrageous that people actually don't take the time to consider that. Historically, the Cold War—I mean, the threats were abundant. It's clear that our two nations don't exactly see eye to eye. We don't have the same worldview or the same goals. And we can't really coexist with Russia because, like you said, they want to rule the world. It doesn't matter who is in charge in America. They're going to try to infiltrate and divide. That's the whole communist strategy. And it seems like the Democrats are letting that work. I mean, they have always been pretty soft on Russia. And now all of a sudden, because they think it favored the Republicans one time ever, they're going to go all out against that.
It doesn't take a lot of investigation to realize that the communists have infiltrated the media, the educational system, for years, and so many things in the United States. And they have a heavy influence there. And those institutions are all pointing the finger saying, look out, Russia's coming. They're already here.
You are an agent.
Yeah, I know. It's amazing, you know, and so... But that's the heavy influence that's there. So
I would love to know which ones are the useful idiots and which ones are actually paid agents of chaos, because it is hard to tell. I mean, the agents, the actual communist conspirators are blending right in. I mean, you can't tell the difference between those who are sincere about it and those who are just here to try to undermine the country through the educational system, through the media, through the political system, through any branch of government that they can get into. It's hard to tell. I just would like to know who is who sometimes.
It's amazing to see all this happening, but that's a really important write-up. Russia's War in America. That's at thetrumpet.com. Also, the Trumpet Hour program today, quite a few very interesting topics, including a very controversial one here in the United States, and that of marijuana.
Mm.
Good for you? Bad for you? A little bit of a spoiler here. It's not great for you. Really interesting topic there in the Trumpet Hour. It's of course, you see it everywhere. I mean, especially in states where it's legalized. I was in Washington State recently. Just driving down the road, and there's all kinds of places you could stop if you wanted to. I did not, of course, but where they're selling those things. And then, even in the sports programs, there's some big controversy. You know, there was a big controversy between these two hosts of this one particular show we were talking about the other day off the air, where they were arguing about whether or not they should allow players in the NBA to smoke marijuana. One guy said, absolutely. The other guy said, are you crazy? So they had a big fight over that. But, you know, it seems more and more like it's becoming just acceptable.
Mm-hmm. And the facts are piled up saying that it is detrimental to your health, to your mental state. The portrayals in entertainment make light of marijuana a lot. But at the same time, they do hit on some pretty accurate parts of it, how it does take away drive, how it does make you very angry if you haven't had it for a while. I've seen people who take a lot of marijuana and they can't hardly speak right. They're coughing all the time because every time you smoke marijuana, it's like the equivalent of 5 cigarettes. Why is it exactly that we have all these attack ads on TV against tobacco companies and cigarettes when marijuana literally is 5 times worse every time you smoke it? It just, you can't quite figure out the reasoning. Again, it's all upside down. There's a bigger threat in marijuana that literally alters your mental state. It doesn't just attack your lungs like cigarettes do, and yet the higher priority for the attack is on the cigarettes.
Yeah, and if you look back, not even too long ago, you know, before they realized, I guess, or wanted to tell people that cigarettes causes lung cancer and other problems, they promoted them as a health benefit. Mm-hmm. It was promoted as like something that would be healthy for you.
Yeah.
But I mean, we live in an age where there are so many things that are being sold legally that destroy people that marijuana doesn't seem as bad. You know, you look at the opioid problem and just watch your nightly news, which of course the older people are watching because they're advertising to them, and you watch a good 3-4 minute ad on the newest pill that you got to get from your doctor.
Mm.
It probably won't kill you, but it might. But ask your doctor, you might want it. I mean, it's like you say, I mean, it would be comical if it wasn't so terrible. But so you got all that stuff flying around legally, and then you start talking about, you know, marijuana. It almost doesn't seem quite as bad, but there is quite a risk to it.
I think that is probably a big part of why people are not more critical of marijuana. They're thinking relatively about it, and they're like, well, it's not as bad as opioids or cocaine or meth, so why do we have to focus on that? Well, it is a lot worse than the cigarettes that you're so against. And so even there, you just can't figure that out. And I saw even a short clip from this podcast host who is very pro-marijuana, uses it all the time. I think he's even done it in during his podcast quite a few times. And he was even saying, while trying to take a month off of it, he's realized he is dependent on it.
Mm-hmm.
Is that how we want to be? Do we want to be dependent on a substance for our supposed sanity or our happiness or our fulfillment? Do we have to get hooked on a substance to find fulfillment and joy out of life? Clearly, that's not the way that we should choose to try to find our happiness in something that you smoke, something that alters your state of mind.
Yeah, it is definitely a gateway drug that's been talked about for years, and it does. You know, when people start with that, it leads to other things, and so it is a bad situation. And it's some good just basic information about the what it does to your body that's on the Trumpet Hour program there today. So,
and people act like it's not addictive when it really is. I mean, that's that podcast host I mentioned is a prime example of that. They talk about like, oh, you can do it on the weekend and just enjoy it. It becomes an addiction. And once you're addicted to something, you need a higher high, a bigger thrill to get that feeling. And so you do. That's why it's a gateway drug, because marijuana is addictive, despite how much people might lie about that. And it just leads on to the bigger drugs, which can kill you a lot faster, even though marijuana eventually could as well.
Yep. Very interesting. Does lead into what we wanted to talk about today. Character in Crisis is a really great booklet at thetrumpet.com. And again, the main point brought out in the booklet is that the two pillars that America was founded on were religion and morality. And there's a sidebar in the booklet here about the law. People don't want to follow the law. And so what you see happening, even in the case of, say, marijuana or something, well, let's just change the law because we don't want to follow it. So we'll change it. It says Douglas Cox worked in the office of legal counsel for Ronald Reagan and George Bush. Here is what he stated in the Wall Street Journal on February the 2nd, 1998. The entire justice system is predicated on the theory that witnesses will tell the truth. Permitting a culture of lying to take root in the justice system would ultimately destroy the system. And so you can think about, you know, whether it be something like marijuana, which there's a lot of pro-propaganda for, and it's not telling the truth, not the total truth in most cases. Or you think about actual court cases that we've seen, what's the first thing you expect? You almost do expect there to be lying. Well, they're lying to me. You know, if you see a commercial on TV, you sort of expect they're lying in some way. The deal's not as good as they say.
Yeah.
If you see a politician talking, you assume they're lying. If, you know, pick almost anything, and you expect them to lie. Some of these court cases or police shooting cases, well, it's a lot of lies. And when you can't trust the truth, you don't have a justice system anymore. You don't have a nation.
Yeah, that's really where we have come. And we've mentioned that in the past couple of programs how much more relevant this booklet is today than ever before, even though it's over a decade old, because the lies are just abundant now. I mean, they're everywhere. And I think the media has exposed itself over the last year or two, and now no one trusts the media. I mean, their approval ratings are barely higher than Congress, which is in the single digit percentages as well. So you just see how no matter where you turn, like you said, there's just lies, and people accept it. That's the shocking part. People believe what they want to believe, regardless of what the facts are. You mentioned the police brutality, and that's an instance of that as well. That is constantly reported on as police brutality, as if that is factually what is happening. They don't say alleged police brutality. They just expose their anti-police bias in their reporting.
Even the whole hands up, don't shoot, or any of those things have kind of become a rallying cry. It's a lie.
All lies. Yeah.
Just a flat out lie. And I don't know if, I suppose there's a percentage of people that have heard it and they just don't know that it's a lie. But then there are a lot of people that do know it's a lie, but they're okay with that. Because what the thinking is now, whatever the issue might be, well, if we've got to lie to get our way, that's fine, because we're looking at the greater good. That's what people would probably say. Well, yeah, we have to lie to get our agenda across, but it's a greater good that'll be, you know, served. Mm-hmm. because of it. That's, you can't do that. Where can you find that? Where can you find that in history? But where can you find it in the Bible? You certainly can't. there's a commandment against lying, as a matter of fact, very specifically. And yet, sort of the thinking is like, well, lies aren't that big of a deal as long as, in the end, the greater good is served.
Right. And that's the Machiavellian way of thinking, that the ends justify the means, or the fact that we're going to have this supposedly utopian future where everyone is equal and there is an all-powerful government providing your every need. They happen to be benevolent, though. They're not going to kill tens of millions of people like past iterations of communism have. That people think of that type of future. It's a perversion of the world tomorrow, which is described in the Bible. And they think, well, we'll do anything it takes to get to that point, no matter what kind of abominable lies we have to tell. And that's just a scary way of looking at it. That's playground rules. That's what you see when you're a small kid on the playground, where there's always a couple of kids who will be completely dishonest about whatever the game is being played. They'll change the rules halfway through if they feel like it. And all of a sudden, no one's enjoying it anymore, because you don't know what you're doing. You don't know what right and wrong is. You don't know the parameters of the game you're playing. Now, that's the point where we're at, where you have to wade through so much, so many filthy, just completely treacherous lies to get to the truth. And at least if people didn't know that something like hands up, don't shoot were a fraud, why couldn't they just withhold judgment until they looked into it themselves? I mean, that is an indictment on the country as well, how just willfully ignorant we are in these cases. If you don't know anything about the subject, don't get emotionally stirred up. Look at the facts first, find out what actually happened, and then form your opinion. Then be passionate about it. But we don't even find people who care about the truth anymore, because in a lot of cases, it's just so hard to find the truth that people don't even want to put the effort in.
Yeah. This section here in Character in Crisis says this really, really great point. And talks about where we are today. It says, our leaders, both secular and religious, should be the chief examples and enforcers of the law. That is what unifies the nation. So we have so much disunity today. If we want to be unified, we have to get back to the law. It says, if our leaders are examples in breaking the law, our system of justice must certainly fall apart. How many times do we see judges block something because, well, it's against their personal opinion? Well, I'm not saying they couldn't maybe block something legally if it was within the law, but just because it's their personal opinion, that's not what they're there for. They weren't put into the office of a judge to push their personal opinions on people. It was to uphold the law. They don't do that in many, many cases. Now, I'm sure there are some that are very good and do, but it's getting to be less and less. We see that all the time, whether it be a travel ban or something else. Now, maybe there's something to look at there legally. I don't know. But they're not looking at it. They just say, I don't like it. My opinion is I don't want to, you know, enforce this law, so I'm going to block it. And that's where we are today. You know, and you really have to think seriously about it as an individual. You know, do you want to live in a society that's ruled by the whims of some person that may not agree with you? Or would you rather live in a society that has a law that everyone has to follow? I would rather have the law.
Yeah, and a perfect God to enforce it as well. Instead of human beings who have their biases and they are so often swayed by that, there's just no integrity in the justice system anymore. I've read stories of judges making such bad decisions that, you know, they didn't apply a restraining order to this man, and so then he went and set his ex-wife on fire because he was able to just be around her whenever he felt like it, and all the evidence would point to a common sense decision. And yet so many cases like that take place where the people actually get abused by the people who are supposed to uphold the law of the land. And like you said, personal opinion doesn't matter at all. We need justices like Antonin Scalia, who recently died. He was strongly in his personal life against abortion, against homosexual marriage, but you can't be an activist judge. And if the people have become immoral enough to change laws, and as a judge, your only job is to uphold the law, you can't inject your personal opinion into it. And sure, maybe a lot of us would have liked him to be an activist judge because at least he had some morals and some values. But that's not their job. How often do we see that all the time where people go beyond the bounds of their job and they're actually inflicting suffering on other people because they think that they are the paragon of virtue. They think they are so righteous that they get to decide for everybody else how it works. Maybe that would be fine if they were looking to God, but they're not. They're just looking to their own human nature.
Yeah, and in that instance, they would be under the law of God. And that's, of course, we're not following that in this nation. But it says, can we afford to not care about adultery and lying in America? If Americans don't care, how much longer can we stand? And then this is really a very personal statement here for everybody. It says, if we truly believe in God, we had better act like it. Otherwise, our sins are going to end in the worst possible catastrophe, and that is going to happen whether we believe God or not. That's a really powerful point. Everybody, you know, private morality, that is an individual matter that people have to think about. But then also, the fact that if we're breaking all of these laws, which is happening in the U.S., we're going to end in the worst possible catastrophe, and it doesn't matter if you believe it or not. God's not going to go anywhere because some human doesn't believe in him.
Right.
That's not... It's easy to think that what a person believes or doesn't believe makes a difference in the grand scheme of events. You know? Well, you know, I don't believe in this or that or the other. Well, if it's the truth or it's going to happen, whether you believe in it or not, it's irrelevant.
Right, and that's what people don't consider when they debate evolution versus creation, or they debate whether God is actively involved in our lives. Yeah, you can close your eyes to the truth all you want to, but it's going to affect you at some point. Maybe those people think that they'll live their lives and they'll never know the answer and it won't impact them in any way, but absolutely it will, especially in this time when people our age are going to be alive to see what is coming, what is going to be the result of our chaotic, divided society. We can't get away with just thinking, well, we'll pass this on to our children and our grandchildren. We won't have to be alive to experience it. We will. And that's a guarantee. And it serves as plenty of motivation to make sure that we actually prove our beliefs and know what the future holds and prepare for that accordingly.
Yeah. And the good news is, of course, that the whole point of God letting man go his own way is that people come to the point where they realize we need God's law. And unfortunately, it takes a lot for people to realize that. That's why it is frightening when you look at the sort of callous response to a terrorist attack. Okay, so what is it going to take for people to stop and consider their ways a little bit? That's the thing. So, I mean, God lays it out pretty clearly here, and he lays out the reasons why. And again, this book, Character in Crisis, is based on the Bible. It pulls from other sources, but it's based on the Bible, so that's where it comes from. But it shows the cause of the problems, which is breaking the law, which is lying, which is all the things that are going on. And it has to end in chaos. And then God's got to, come and fix the problems, which is going to happen when Christ returns. But it has to get to the point where people are willing to say, you know what, we didn't know what we were doing. We went the wrong way on this.
It does have to get to the point where man just totally loses faith in his own ability to govern, because if it were just one nation or another that, you know, this one, a lot of people are starving to death. This one, there's a tyrannical government in place. This one is so divided like ours, and we have even family members turning against each other. Well, you could always point to the good aspects of another nation, be like, well, see, they're doing this well. You know, mankind is still, there's still hope in his way of ruling, because look at this nation and what it's doing over here and how successful it is. It literally takes the destruction of the whole world, the failure of every system of government, every national government on earth, for people to finally understand that it's not going to work. It doesn't matter what form of government it is or who's in charge or what the belief system is that is devised by human beings. None of it will ever work. And we have to get to that point. That's why maybe people think it seems extreme that we go to the brink of human annihilation before God shows us the right way. It's simply because people won't believe it until it gets that extreme.
Yeah, and that's Christ laid that out in Matthew 24, that it would be that bad. So really get this this book, Character in Crisis, this little booklet. It's great. And again, you know, it was over a decade ago it was written, and look and see what it said and then see where we are today and see if it's not spot on, and also shows where things are heading. So really an interesting booklet there. But as it brings out, even though it's frustrating to see things spiraling in the country, everyone has an individual responsibility, and, you know, individual lives don't have to spiral. They can go a good direction. And so that's God offers that to everybody. So get this book, Character in Crisis. Make sure you listen for the Key of Dave program and the Trumpet Daily Radio Show, and also the Trumpet Hour today. That's all the time we have for this edition of Trumpet Radio Live. For myself, Dwight Falk, and Grant Turgeon, have a great rest of your day, and we will talk to you tomorrow.
You're listening to Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG.